I'm Mike Salem. Through our ongoing ministry of CWH, My Dad's teachings continue to reach hearts around the world, bringing hope, truth, and encouragement that is rooted in God's unchanging word. We recently heard from a viewer in Wyoming. We enjoy watching your program every week. We learn so much about God and the Bible. Pastor Salem explains everything in a way that even a child could understand. Jesus gave us many beautiful parables, each offering meaningful guidance for our lives. In today's message, Dad highlights the rich lessons found in the parable of the two debtors. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And another week has gone by. God has been good to us, carried us along the way. Some he's taken home, and that's, like Paul says, it's better to be with the Lord. For me to live as Christ, to die is gain. And so someday we'll all get to go. Maybe we'll all go together. Maybe the Lord will come, we'll have the rapture of the church, and we'll all go together. Either way, we're going to get there, and we're going to be there forever. Well, we're looking at the psalmist today, Psalm 67, and he writes, God be merciful to us and bless us, cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving faith among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously, and shall govern the nations upon the earth. Dear Heavenly Father, yes, you bless our lives, you guide our lives, and you also govern the nations of the earth. All of the nations of the earth, some who feel they are so powerful and mighty, and yet they're pawns in your hands. You govern them, you raise them up, and you put them down because you are God. And someday we're going to see you face to face. We're going to live with you. We're going to be in that new Jerusalem. And oh, dear God, there's no weeping, nor sorrow, nor parting, nor anything, but all is bliss and glory as we worship Jesus and worship our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. So bless us, Lord, as we make this pilgrimage journey, and then as we eventually join you in heaven. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan's going to sing for us today, Yes, My Jesus Loves Me. And God bless you, Jan.
Watch me wear my love.
Thank you, Jan. You could sing that all day. Jesus loves me. We all want to be loved. Sometimes people say, I've had people say, I don't care what people think. And maybe they don't to a point. But down in the heart, everybody wants you to be loved. Everybody wants to have friends. Everybody wants to have somebody that they can be a companion with. And that Jesus is there. And he loves all of us. And he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And that's the story of the gospel. See, Jesus loves me. God so loved the world, he gave his son. His son Jesus came. And you know what we're told in the book of Hebrews? We're told about Jesus who went to the cross. And he said, who went to the cross rejoicing that he could go to the cross. With joy, he went to the cross. And he did that because he was paying for your sins and my sins and the sins of the world. And that's how much he loved us. And someday we're going to see him. We can personally thank him, see him face to face and sing in those choirs and rejoice in the Lord. Oh, nothing but glory ahead. But you have to have Jesus. You have to receive him. So you be thinking about that. During this service today, maybe you'll be make that prayer. Yes, I want Jesus. Well, we have some letters, and we always enjoy these letters. Sometimes we get so many, we don't know which ones to read. But they are just so good, and they tell us what people are thinking. So then when I'm writing my sermons, and I can say, oh, now here, I think people are interested in this. They're asking about this. They're talking about that. So I try to maybe, you know, anticipate something they're thinking about and answer some of the questions, because I got an idea that a lot of this preaching going on now, we're answering questions that nobody's asking. And so just keep your eyes and ears open. And these letters are a good way of finding out. The first one is from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And this person writes, I'm 86 years old. I don't drive and unable to attend church as I have all my life. I'm a widow and I want to order 3 more copies of Heart of a Shepherd. God bless that film as it goes out to many places. I want one for each of my children, and they can share it with their grandchildren and others. I'm going to share my film with my neighbors and friends. And I thought, oh, that's exactly right. That's the thing to do. Share this film. And I'll tell you the nice thing about this film is that it's an evangelistic film. It's evangelical. That is, it's talking about Jesus and how to accept Jesus and how he loves you and he wants you to come to him. And we have instances where people have watched this film all alone and at the close of the film have made that prayer. We ask, tell you what you need to do. You need to tell Jesus you're a sinner. You need to ask him to come into your heart and take away your sin. You need to turn from your evil ways, sinful ways, anything wrong, and then thank him, see? And so you can do that even if you don't have somebody to help you. So this film, is we send it out on a free will offering basis. We do it on a free will offering. It's an hour-long film, and it'll help people come to Jesus. Here's Albany, Oregon. My wife and I really enjoy your sermons each Sunday morning. As we're getting older, it's getting more difficult to get out of the house. Now we can have our coffee and listen to your preaching and even sit in our jammies. Well, if that isn't a beautiful thing, you can see me and I can't see you. It's probably just as well. But if you're sitting in your rocking chair and you're all relaxed and you're going to stay awake during my sermon, I'd like to see that. I have them sit on these old, cold, hard pews. And they go to sleep, and it doesn't take them very long to get asleep. And so I just hope you stay awake and listen to our service, because you need to hear the gospel. Here's Mount Vernon, Washington. We love this film and have shared it with others in our family. We would like additional copies for people we meet who have their hearts open to receive Jesus. Blessing to you all. And so that's it. The key to it all is get the film in the hands of the unsaved, the people that haven't heard the good message of the gospel, haven't the good news of the gospel, And so you need to spread the word around. Get this in the hands of the unsaved. And you want to be a soul winner. And it's hard to go and talk to people about their souls. Very difficult, especially if it's family and relatives. But you can send them a film, and we'll send it to you free and postpaid. And you give us whatever you can give. We'll send it free if you don't have any money. If you can make a gift, that's fine. Otherwise, just let us know. Here's St. Francis, Minnesota. In our Sunday school class, we are studying about the Holy Spirit and Pentecost. They're telling me that I need to do a third baptism with the Holy Spirit. I've been baptized 2 times already, once a sprinkling and once in the water like Jesus did. Isn't that enough? I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that he is my Savior. I believe he rose from the grave and someday I'll be with him in it for eternity. Why are they saying I need another baptism? Thank you for your help. Well, they are confused, believe me. And they're talking about the third baptism. Now, that's your first baptism. And it's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's given to us in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. And here's what it says. For by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Talk about the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. There's your baptism. He says we're baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink of one Spirit. Now this is what you have. When we come to Jesus, we're poor lost sinners. We're dead in our sins, we're told in Ephesians. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and calls us. And God calls all men unto him. He's on the cross. And he says, I will call all men unto me. He's not willing that any should perish. So he's calling all of you in one way or another. As you hear the preaching of the gospel, you'll just say, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. But you're dead. So the Holy Spirit, so you pray and you ask, call on the name of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit comes and he takes you and he takes that wicked body, that filled, sin-filled body, and he cleanses us with the body and blood of Christ, and he baptizes us into the body of Christ, from darkness into light, from hell into heaven. See, that's what it is. The baptism of, we have people that have been saved for years and they're praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what they're really praying is that the Holy Spirit will fill them, but they're calling it baptism. If you're baptized by the Holy Spirit when you accept Jesus. Now, after you accept Jesus and you come to the accountability, then you want to be baptized by immersion or by sprinkling. But most people believe immersion, but you can be baptized. But neither one saves you. It doesn't save you. It's accepting Jesus Christ that saves you. And then we have communion, we have baptism, we have a lot of things, and tithing and all the rest. But the thing that saves us is faith in Jesus alone. That's all. So I hope that helps you. Here's Hatton, North Dakota. I'm giving one to my former pastor who is a chaplain at 2 nursing homes so he can show them there to the residents. And so that's nice. We're happy to hear about that. We send to any of the nursing homes, retirement homes, prisons, or anything like that. We'll send it free and postpaid if you don't have any money and you want to have it. Now, if you're in prison, it isn't very good for you to write us personally because we'll send you our Bible study and all that. But the prisons have different regulations. One prison that I know about, you can only write on white paper. And that's all right. If that's their regulation, that's their regulation. But if you want it shown in the prison, and what you need to do is talk to the chaplain. And that chaplain can write to us, and we'll send it free and postpaid. And my guess is that the chaplains will be happy to have this film because it gives hope. It's filled with hope of coming to Jesus, and no matter who you are, Jesus loves you, and he'll take you in. And I was 10 years old when I accepted the Lord. So whether you're young or you're old, Jesus loves you. And that's what this film is, an hour-long, Heart of a Shepherd. And so you get the chaplain, and I'm sure he'll help you. Let me see. We've got one from Smithville, Missouri. Keep up the good work getting the word of the Lord to us. I've been under the weather lately. Your worship hour has brightened up my day. God bless you and your ministry. Well, we're glad that you can tune us in. And I know we can brighten your day because we got the gospel. And that's where our joy comes from. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It isn't the preaching. It isn't the singing and none of that. It's the word of God that God takes and uses for the hearts. And he uses a different way. I preach the best I can. We have musicians who love the Lord and do a beautiful job. And they bring that message in music. But it all boils down to God's word. See? And that's where they go. We preach the Bible. And it says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so then the Holy Spirit applies it to your heart. And then you call in the name of the Lord and you're born again. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. And while he also, when he baptizes you, he gives gifts. And every Christian has at least one gift. And some Christians have many. And you get that gift when you accept Jesus. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Work of the Holy Spirit is to bring us into the body of Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit is distributing the gifts. That's where the gifts come from. And so the Holy Spirit has his work, and he does it faithfully. Let me give you one more, and this is a good one. Dell Rapids, South Dakota. I listened to your service many times when I'm unable to attend my church. God bless you and your group of faithful people. I'm 101 years old. And so excuse my scribbling. Well, I'm jealous of her because here she is. She's older than I am, and that's just disgusting. But that's the way God deals it out. You see what God does. He gives us a time to be born and a time to die. And that's all set in God's plan. And so we just will go along. And it's like one pastor always told me, and he's with the Lord now, but he used to say, I'm all packed up and ready to go. I'm just waiting for transportation. Well, one of those days, God did come and get him, took him home. He got his transportation. He's home. He's rejoicing. And so I'm going to see him someday. When I go, I'm going to leave my walker. And I'll will that to somebody that'd like to get it. That walker's a wonderful thing because it helps me get around, see. But it's all for the Lord. So I hope you'll write. And this is what you need to do. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you write to us, if you'd like to have our little Bible study, the Bible study this month is Facing the Storms of Life. Maybe you're a young person, you're listening today, and you're having a battle with some drugs or something. You know, when I was a child, the only drug we knew was aspirin tablets. That's the only drug we had. And my heart goes out to the young people today with all the temptations and all of the things they have to battle. But you can be victorious. You young people can do that. Because if you have Jesus in you, you can do it in your heart. You can do it like St. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can reject those drugs. I can reject this sinning, having sex outside of marriage, whatever it is, cheating in school. You have all kinds of problems. But let me tell you something. As long as we live, I got my temptations too. 97 years old and still tempted. And I'm not tempted to cheat in school because I'm not in school, so I'm safe from that. But I'm tempted all the time. I ask one old pastor, when will it be, the pastor, that you won't be tempted anymore? And the pastor says, oh, about 3 days after I'm dead. And that's going to, you're going to have that battle all the time. So you write to us. We'll send you literature. It's a special little Bible study on facing the storms of life. And also, we need to have you help financially. We have to pay our way just like anybody else. And you can send it to our address as I've given you there. I'm going to give it in a minute again for our people on shortwave radio. But you can also give it on our website, christianworshiphour.com. And wherever you are in the world, you get christianworshiphour.com. There's a place for donate, and you can donate in your currency. Anywhere in the world, it comes in American currency, and we pay our way. And right along hand in hand with that, people say, well, what if we send that money to him and he spends it on himself? What if he puts that all in his pocket? And I don't know how he's spending it. Well, let me tell you how we spend it. We have, first of all, I don't even touch the money. I don't ever, I don't even see it, to tell you the truth. It goes through a certain group of people and they check it. And then we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And that's an international organization. They audit our books. They check our books every year. And we toe to the mark. So whatever you give will go to the work of the Lord. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you give as the Lord leads. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Dear Lord, thank you for those over the years, for 40 years have been giving, many of them with you now. Thank you for those today who help us in this work. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from Luke chapter 7 and beginning with the 41st verse. This is called the parable of the debtors, the two debtors. And it is one of the most famous of all the parables. I don't know, they're all famous, I guess, but it's one that I especially like. Luke chapter 7. And then in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church. And you know, there are many people in the persecuted church who worship with us. They're part of our congregation. And so we're thinking about that shortwave radio. We know that we're in some of those countries strong. I know in North Korea and China, they tell me, we have a powerful, strong signal there and in other parts of the world. So we're so glad to include them. And for the persecuted church, we're going to pray for the Christians in the Palestinian territory, because they're being persecuted also. But let's look at this parable. Jesus gives it to us, beginning with verse 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon, he was a Pharisee, Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is given, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." And oh, Lord, what a beautiful, beautiful picture of the grace of God, that though we were deep in sin and there was no way out, yet you here you come and you pay the price, pay all the price for us. We thank you, dear Jesus, and we open our heart to you, and we give you our and we love you because you loved us so much and gave so much for us. Help us, dear Lord, and just to accept our praise and adoration, and help us to do the work that you've called us to do, because every one of us who have accepted you, Lord, we all have that duty. You all have that thing that he wants us to do. You have a special plan for each one of us. Help us to be faithful. And dear Jesus, today we pray for our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in that Palestinian territory. And we know that they're suffering. Many of them are going through hard times, very hard times. And so we just pray, help them to know the Lord, that you are with them. You are with the children of Israel in slavery in Egypt. And you brought them out at your own time. You said you heard their prayers, and you brought them out at the chosen time in your own plan. And we do want your will to be done, because, dear God, we don't know what's best and which things should happen. And you are in control. You move the nations. You move the nations from place to place. You put them up and take them down. And with the Christians, you have your eye upon them, and you know just exactly what's happening. So we put all into your hands. So now bless us in this service. And we pray, oh, dear Jesus, we pray the Holy Spirit will speak to multitudes, and they'll all come to you. We're just praying everybody who hears us, everybody who watches us, everyone will open their heart to you, and we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And before I get to preach, Hank's going to sing. He's going to sing Higher Ground. God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. All right, boys. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
feet on higher, higher ground, higher ground. Plant my feet on higher ground. Plant my feet on higher ground. Plant my feet on high ground. Oh, yeah.
Well, hallelujah. Hank, I've been going to church for 97 years singing Higher Ground. I ain't never heard nothing like that. I just couldn't. I would kind of like to take a little rest, you know, before I preach. Now you got me jumping all over the place. And I will get young people, they'll write and they'll say, have him do it again, give me another one. But that's the message, and that we all say amen. We do want to live on higher ground. I want to be a better Christian. I want to be more like Christ. I want to be more dependent. I want to be more trusting. And that's our struggle. That's our challenge all of life. And someday we'll be on higher ground. We'll be in the New Jerusalem. Praise God. And I don't know if they'll sing like that. I wouldn't be surprised. It's praising God. That's what it is. Well, this parable. I love this parable of the two debtors. And it has so many special meanings to it. And it is the parable of the man who both people owed money, one man and one woman. The story has three people in it. It has Simon, and Simon is a stiff, proud old Pharisee. And he just really minds the law, and I'm telling you, he's very strict. And he has invited Jesus into his home. And the second one is the woman. She has entered the Pharisee's home to see Jesus where he is at dinner. She is not Mary Magdalene. This is another woman that came to Jesus and was saved. And then, of course, this third person is the Lord Jesus. So let's look at Simon. And Simon had a lot of questions in his mind about the Lord Jesus. He wondered if he really was a son of God. He claimed to be. He wondered really who he was. He was really, what did Jesus know? What ability did he have? And so he invited him to his home for a meal, of course. And but his invitation was not cordial. It wasn't open, really open. He just wanted to get Jesus there to check him out. And so he didn't show him some of the courtesies in the Middle East. There were three courtesies they gave when you had a guest come. First of all, he didn't bring Jesus water to wash his feet. They always did that because they had sandals. It was dusty, and they would come, and they could wash their feet. And then he didn't provide oil for his head, which they always did. And he didn't give him the customary kiss of salutation. And all of these were acts of courtesies in the Eastern home at that time. And yet Jesus came in and took the invitation and sat at meat. And then look at this woman. Now this is woman as Simon sat at the meat, and the very strange thing took place when that happened. Luke writes simply a woman, a sinner. A synonym for the word is harlot, or as the Living Bible puts it, a woman of the streets, a prostitute. Here you have the very outcast of society. Now, in order to better understand the events that take place, we have to understand the situation. His home, for instance, was a courtyard of every well-to-do man. He had a courtyard, and it was walled off. And then it is a hollow in the middle of it. It was a square with a hollow for people to mingle and to eat. And often the courtyard would be would have a fountain in it, or they'd have flowers or a garden in it. And in this area, in warm weather, meals were eaten. So they'd eat out in this open place. And that's what they were doing here at Simon's house. And the guests didn't sit around a table or chairs as they do today. Rather, they inclined on a low couch by the table. They would rest their arm on their left elbow, and they would eat with the right hand. and their feet would be stretched out behind them on the couch. During the meal, the sandals would be taken off, and that explains why when Jesus says Jesus is standing at his feet. Simply, and I used to remember that as a child, you know, how did she stand at his feet? He was lying on a couch and she was standing at his feet. And so he comes the courtyard is open. And so it was customary for people to stand outside that wall and look at whatever company they were entertaining. And maybe the rabbi would come or something. They'd listen to the rabbi, whatever he had to say. And so it was nothing thought of for people to stand around and look to see who you had. As a matter of fact, they kind of wanted you to do that to show how great they were and how powerful they were. And so that's the setting for our story today. And while they were there, suddenly, above all these people standing around the courtyard, here is a woman, and she steps across the threshold, and she comes right in. And old Simon must have had his eyes as like a saucer. She walks right in and walks over to the feet of Jesus. And righteous old Simon saw this woman come across the threshold, and he didn't know what to think or what to do. But there was one thing Simon knew. She wasn't going to come to him, because you give the Pharisees this much credit. They were moral people, and they kept the law to a T, and they were very proud and arrogant. But to think of them as anything immoral was an impossible thing. So he knew the man Jesus wasn't coming to. This woman wasn't coming to him. Instead, Jesus came to the woman, and she and old Simon saw him go to Jesus. What's going on here, he's thinking. And he sees her go to his feet. And he saw her stoop down and anoint the feet with ointment. And then she saw him take her tears, and her tears fell on his feet. And then, behold, she kissed the feet of Jesus. What in the world? And finally, this woman takes her hair and opens her hair and wipes his feet with the hair and worships this Jesus. And Jesus didn't hear and now pronounce forgiveness on this woman, but we're told in the scriptures, she hath been forgiven, verse 47. In other words, this woman had come to Jesus somewhere and confessed her sins, and she had forgiven her freely, fully. And that's what she's responding to. That love of Jesus Christ compels her to walk into the face of Simon and go to that place and worship Jesus Christ. And so there you have the story. Now then, in this story, it says that there was a certain lender, that is, money lender. They had them then, they got them now. And it says, a certain money lender had taken two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50 pence. When they had not wherewith to pay, he forgave them both. Which of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose, supercilious, smarty way, see. Oh, I suppose, to whom he gave the most. I suppose. And Jesus says, thou hast rightly judged. That's exactly right, old Simon. And our Lord uses three figures here, and it's all on the commercial line. He talks about money, he talks about debtors, and he talks about creditors. The money had undoubtedly been borrowed because of great need. The one that had advanced him 50, one man he gave 50 pence, and another man he gave 500 pence. The Living Bible says that makes that $500 to one and $5,000 to the other. So Jesus is dealing with the matter of owing debts. The debtor degree of the obligation is going to make a difference in that person, whether it's 50 or whether it's 500. And the same the advance came from the same person. And it must have been, couldn't believe it. But he said, you both are forgiven. both are put away because they're bankrupt and they can't pay. So here's a beautiful thing about shining here. It's showing how that Jesus, how this wonderful God, it shows how kind and loving God is, that when bankrupt humanity comes to him, whether it's 5,000 or whether it's 5 million, it doesn't matter to him. He freely forgives. That's the beautiful thing. And then Jesus said, which is likely to love him the most? And Simon says, I suppose the one who was in, had the biggest debt would love him the most. And Jesus says, that's right. That's right. And so here we have Simon. He's thinking of himself. And he's thinking, well, he's the 50 pence sinner. And unquestionably, this woman is the 500 pence sinner. Simon was a sinner. He knew that. He would never deny that. But he wasn't the kind of a sinner that this woman was. This woman here she's a high-class sinner, and he's a low-class sinner. He doesn't have as many sins as this poor woman has, terrible sins. But God knocks that hat down in a minute, because he tells us in James 2, verse 10, he that offendeth the law on one point is guilty of all. Simon, you're as big a sinner as that woman. If you have one sin, you're guilty of the whole thing. Billy Graham used to say, I think that every one of us have broken all the commandments when you have what your mind does and how you deal with these things. I don't know if you've broken them all, but I know what God says. If you stole one little green apple, if you told one white lie, and there is no such thing as a white lie, it's black and dirty, it doesn't matter. You're guilty of the whole thing. You're in the same boat, and you're bankrupt. You see, the woman had been a sinner after the flesh. She's an outcast, and she was wretched. Simon wasn't that kind of man at all. He was a man who's sinning after the Spirit. He had a proud spirit. He was very self-righteous. He sure wasn't like that woman. Self-satisfaction all over the place. He looked down on her. He looked upon himself as just almost perfect. He is keeping the law. He's almost perfect. But boy, she's not in the same class, not in the same boat. And there are people who feel that way today. They don't do certain things. They have their little rules, see, their little list. And it's things that they don't like anyway, probably. I don't know. But they think they are so perfect. They think they are so good. They think that they are God's little pets. They think that they're just a marvel to God. They just think that God God's that special people with God. Whereas the fact is they are naked and poor and blind and wretched. And like Simon of old, Jesus was teaching him, Simon, you're just as wicked as this woman, or even more so. But he gives us some lessons out of this picture, out of this story. He tells us, first of all, that the total bankruptcy of all people, of all men, when they stand before God, you may look pretty good in society. You may look pretty good as your people see you, different people see you. But when we stand before God, we are bankrupt. We're like the man who was taken to the dinner, and you all had to have a robe, given a robe at the marriage feast. And he comes and he says, I don't need a robe. I'm good enough with my own clothes. I'll just tell him off. And when the master came in, it was a whole dining room, huge, and he saw one man. And he says, how come you don't have a garment on? You know what the man said? He was speechless. His big mouth wouldn't work. And when you stand before God Almighty, you may have a lot of excuses. And God knows I've heard 1,000 of excuses from people who are good enough and they're better than their neighbor and better than my church members and stuff like that. I've heard it till I'm sick of it. When you stand there and you start tell God what you'd all done and how good you are, you know what you'll be? You'll be have locked jaw. You won't say a word. And that's what Jesus is teaching. You're going to stand there someday. And the second thing Jesus is teaching in this story is that forgiveness is for everybody. Everybody. All can be forgiven. He forgave them both. The one who owed a ton and the one who didn't owe hardly anything. Hey, God, when you come to God, this lender, whoever he was, whoever picture, it's a picture of Jesus Christ, and he forgives us all our sins if we come to him for forgiveness. And then this also demonstrates in this story that cleansing inspires a service. The more we're forgiven, the more we love him, it seems. When we see how bad we were, and we see in a, and just stand alongside of Jesus Christ. Don't get some old reprobate that sits in church. Don't get him. I see him. They'll pull him out in the middle of the aisle, and then they'll lay down along the set. Oh, I'm a lot longer than he is. I'm a lot better than he is. You get alongside of Jesus Christ, and you see how big you are, you little pygmy. And that's what Jesus is teaching us. The more we love Jesus and the more we're forgiven, it just seems like the more we want to do and the more we want to give him. When we get to really studying the Bible, we read that Bible and we see how and we get closer to Jesus. And the closer to Jesus we get, the more we see in our more flaws we have and how much we fail. And so our love only can grow. And that's what Jesus is teaching this. Old cold-eyed Simon looked upon the woman as someone soiled and spoiled, and she was smirched, and she was a reprobate. And that's exactly what she was until she met Jesus. And when she met Jesus in less time than to take it, she became beautiful. Beautiful. She became beautiful because she was born again. She repented of her sins, and Jesus washed her with his blood and the Holy Spirit and put her into the body of Christ. She was beautiful. Really, the only man and the only women in the world today that are beautiful are the people that are born again, the people that have been cleansed, the bland people that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They're the only beautiful people, mind you. And time will show it in the judgment. You'll find out, sure as the world. And now here she is. She's been cleansed, freed from all of that bondage, freed from all of these things. And now she's shining and she's glowing and she's beautiful. Isn't that great? It just makes my heart thrilled. And so comes the test, this feet for Jesus. And she comes to show that love. And she has the ointment, and she has the tears, and she has the kisses, and she has the caresses, and she has it all because she loves this Jesus. And Jesus tells her, go in peace. Could be translated, go into peace. You're free. You're free, and you're beautiful. And that means there's a future for every one of us. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how long you've done it. It doesn't matter if you sinned against light. And somebody writes it, ask, what do you mean by that? I mean, you knew it was wrong and you did it anyway. Do you ever do that? Who hasn't? I don't know. Maybe you haven't. I know I have. And all of these things. But I can come to Jesus and I can be made pure and I can be made clean. And now Jesus is saying, you have a future. You have a future with me, and I have a plan for you. I want you into my kingdom. I want you working for me. I want you serving for me, and we can be with the Lord Jesus, see? And then the final thing, this story shows us that great sins should not keep us from coming to Jesus. I get letters not all the time, but I've had a lot of number of letters, and they say, I've done so many things bad. And I've sinned against God. God would never forgive me. And I had one woman who said that she worked in one of these burlesque shows. And somehow she came to hear about Jesus and came to talk to me about it. And I told her, well, you know, and she says, I understand you should be baptized. And I said, yes, if you accept Jesus, you should be baptized. And she had it in her mind that baptism took away sins, but baptism doesn't take away sins. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that takes away sins. But this woman said, I am such a wicked woman. If I come to Jesus and if I'm baptized, I'll turn that water black. That's what she thought, see? Don't turn away from Jesus because you think you've sinned too much. You come. Don't let anybody stop you. because Christ is not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come under me. The psalmist cried out, and you can cry the same thing in Psalm 25 and verse 7. Pardon mine iniquity, for thou art so, for it is great. Christ isn't willing that any should perish. We have those who say that God decides who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. I'll tell you who makes that decision. You make that decision. God has made that decision. He's made the decision. He wants you to come. But if you won't come, he won't make you. You have to make that. You remember when he cried over Jerusalem? And he sat and he cried, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he cries. Didn't cry many recommend times when he cried. He cried over, oh, he says, I prayed that you'd come to me and you would not. See, he wanted them to come, but they wouldn't come. And he wants you to come, but he won't force you. He'll never push you. You have to be your own decision. And right now, I know all over the world, I know this. I know that some of you are feeling, maybe all of you feeling, I want Jesus. I want to be pure and I want to be clean and I want to go to heaven. And I just can't believe that it can be there. It must be harder than that. It must be more to it than that. No, no. Jesus says, him that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. He says, he that calleth on the name of the Lord, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Don't make it hard. The devil wants you to make it hard. Jesus wants you to see that a little child can come. And you just come and say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take them all away, wash them all away. And I'll turn from my sin, dear Jesus. I'll turn, I'll follow you, and thank you, Jesus. And then you get to work, and you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll send you literature. Or if you want to, you can get us on our website, christianworshiphour.com, and we have the Way of Salvation there printed out for you. And if you want to have that little Bible study on how to live in the tempests and storms of life, you write to us and ask for the new song. If you want this beautiful film, 1 hour long on how to come to Jesus, you say, I would like that film. Send a gift if you can. And then you need to know that we have to pay our way just like anybody else. We're not begging, we're just telling you it cost us to be on here. And so we got to have your help. And if you think this is worthwhile, you think this is of the Lord, you get to us. Christian Worship Hour, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Now I'm going to pray. Dear Jesus, I pray for everyone who've come to you today. I pray there's multitudes all over the world. Lord, we're praying for those on beds of sickness. We're praying for the shut-ins. We're praying for those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. We're praying for the young people with all the tests they have and all the little children who need to come to you. Oh, dear God, may they answer the call of the Spirit and come and make that prayer in their own words, in their own way. You'll understand. You know their heart. Help them to come. And we'll give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So you write to us now. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And as you make your gift, remember we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It's all accredited. It's all accounted for, all audited. And I want you to know something. God loves you. He hates your sin, but he loves you so much he gave his son. When he gave his son, he gave. Would you give your son to die for your enemies? Would you? You know you wouldn't, and I know I wouldn't. But God did, and he gave his son. And Jesus died because he loved you. God loves you, everyone. And I want you to know the Christian Worship Hour loves you. We've been on now for over 40 years. Same message, same story. And it's because we love you and we want to see you in heaven. We want to be with you in heaven. And I'm going to tell you something else, friend, from my heart to your heart. I do love you. If I could pray for you, if I could pray you into heaven, I would. But I can't. You've got to do that. So do it. Don't be stubborn. Don't put it off. Just say, Jesus, please come into my heart. And I'll turn from my sin, follow you. And you do that, I'm going to see you in heaven. And we'll talk it all over. So God bless you. God bless you as we think upon his name. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.